This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, voted Best Tour and Transport Operator in the New South Wales Tourism Awards. Well done, team. If you want to know why they're award-winning, why not check out one of their great beer experiences, like their Rocks Pub Walk, which is a historical walking tour with a twist. The twist being beer, of course. Walking tours are pretty awesome to begin with, and adding beer to the equation makes it awesomer, so it's really worth checking out. To book your tour today, go to daves.com.au.
Sessionable.
Welcome everyone to Sessionable. I am sitting here at the Tap House in Sydney, and I'm joined by... Oh, I'm Adrian, by the way.
Yeah, that's your name, right?
I should say that. And I'm joined by Liam.
Hey, how you
and
going?
Tom.
Well, that's me.
How you going?
Yes.
That was a weird one.
You didn't know what you were doing.
No, I got a little bit of beer cheese stuck in my throat.
Let's talk about the beer cheese.
Yeah, so we're sitting here at the Tap House. We're doing Ale Stars tonight with Shenanigans. And part of the whole... What we're doing with Ale Stars now is doing a bit more, like, messing around with food and seeing what we can do with beer and food. And the chef's just brought us up a sample of one of the courses for tonight, which is these really nice, like pastry
cheese,
sticks.
Cheese bread sticks, I guess?
Yeah, bread sticks with beer cheese.
And the beer cheese
with
is
Winston. Yeah. Which is
it's pretty good.
Pretty good beer for a beer cheese. Yeah.
And we're drinking Shenanigans beer as well.
Yeah.
So we've got the India Session Grisette.
Yeah, which is exactly what it says on the tin, right?
Mm.
You got to love that.
It's a nice yeah.
Yeah, I think that was one of my favourite new releases from last year, especially out of New South Wales.
Yeah, definitely.
And the Funk Wit. The Funk Wit was awesome as well.
Yeah, I love the Funk Wit.
Yeah.
Funk Wit is like one of my favourite beers. So
yeah, I agree.
I think it's a killer beer.
I was very close to voting for it last year. I think I maybe tried it just after I voted, maybe, or something like that. Yeah.
Can't remember, but yeah, it's a great beer.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful beer.
Yeah, I think Shenanigans were pretty quiet for much of last year, and then they came out with these two beers and kind of just reminded everyone that...
Well, they had the Grisette Superior.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I think that's sort of... They've just been building on that, and they've just been... Yeah.
Well, was Grisette Superior about this time last year?
I think it was early last year.
Yeah,
that's
coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they had some cracking releases last year.
Been a good year for Shenanigans, yeah.
So, shall we go on to some news roundup?
Some interesting things to touch on, some big news happening around the country.
Yeah, beer's getting mainstream.
It is a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. I think, something that we've talked about on the podcast before is beer and sport and sporting grounds and stuff like that as well, you know.
I think because we're all big sporting fans.
Yeah. Being Swans members, Tom and I, would love to have a decent beer
at
Swans. But it's been the last, I guess, week. There's been some pretty big inroads in those type of things. I think the first one was Yender announced the official beer of the Wallabies and the Super Rugby.
Yeah,
so
cool.
It's a partnership with ARU, is it?
Yeah, the Yender one, I think, is with the ARU. So
yeah,
Wallabies, and it's also the Australian Conference of the Super Rugby.
Yeah. So I was just reading the Brews News article that James or the team at Brews News wrote this week, and the one thing it didn't mention was about pouring rights. So I'm not sure if it's just like a like a branding thing,
right?
Or whether they actually part of the deal is having rights to pour at grounds. It didn't mention that.
Yeah,
I think it's more of an overall like partnership.
Okay,
so it's the official beer of the Wallabies and stuff like that as well.
Mm.
So I'm not sure how that's going to go into play as far as getting beer in the hands of people
in the stadiums,
the Wallabies.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if you're in Queensland, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah,
because I think Queensland have also announced a rugby.
Well, beer. And so I think I read both the articles in the same day. So
they came out very close to each other.
But then also the other news is that Queensland Rugby have just signed a deal with Newstead Brewing to be the official beer of Queensland Rugby. And that does include pouring rights at the ground, which I think is called Ballantyne Stadium or something like that. But yeah, so so there will be Newstead beer in the ground. So, off the back of Gage Roads and their deal with not only with the new stadium in WA, but also
the Rugby Sevens.
I went to the Rugby Sevens and they had
single fin
at the Rugby Sevens.
Sweet.
And I think it was... That was one of only two beers available at the ground. It was meant to be the only beer available, but I saw they were pouring some Great Northern at a couple of bars.
Yeah, of course they were.
but pretty much all the main bars just had single fin as the only beer on tap. So things are changing in that regard. Can still hold out hope for a beer at the Swans.
Yeah, I mean, it's still like a long way away from having, you know, a full bar of independent craft beers at a stadium like you see in the US and other places in Europe. But, you know, baby steps.
I remember I got CC'd into an article like ages ago. I was trying to think if I could find it. I can't remember where I saw it. But it was a guy who's basically like in sports media and stuff like that. And he wrote this thing. It was like that his 100 things that the Australian sports scene needs to do to change. And one of those big things was talking about, you know, in the US, how, you know, there's craft beer, there's a selection of beers available at sporting grounds. And it's, you know, a lot more inclusive. And, you know, like when I went to see the Giants baseball in San Francisco, they had like a Lagunitas bar.
Yeah.
There's a giant craft beer bar, which is actually joint onto the stadium.
Yeah.
And you can actually take beers and plastic cups from there into the stadium and stuff like that as well. And he'd mentioned a few things like the fact that, you know, Arsenal almost brewed a beer at Young Henry's when they were here. And that just fell through at the last thing. You know, Young Henry's and the Masters are collaborators with things like the Foo Fighters beer and stuff like that as well. But he'd highlighted craft beer in sporting grounds as a way to get people back in the, you know, because things like the NRL is like, their numbers are atrocious.
Yeah.
People are less and less going to certain sports. You know, I think AFL is looking pretty healthy. But, you know, like, I don't drink when we go to the games.
No, we get preloaded and then we go to the game and sober up while we're there and then come back
post-load.
Out. Yeah, exactly. But it would be really nice, even if it wasn't, like, we've been talking about this for years, and I know this is a retread of a topic, but it's also, there's some news on it, and it would be great if there was just a bar somewhere at the SCG or two bars, one on each side. It was a collection of Sydney brewers, like Wellington Phoenix has with Garage Project and a bunch of Wellington breweries. Like that to me seems like just the easiest way to do it.
Well, all they need to do is just do one bar, just put it in our bay, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Right, Bay 29 just needs a craft beer. Yeah. That's all we need. It's
I guess like
get some aggressive clapping going on.
It's a smart move by clubs as well to do a partnership like this, or like a, you know, a local focus like the Wellington Phoenix do, because it means that they care about their community rather than caring about getting money
from a multinational sponsorship.
Yeah, and also, like, if it's just being in touch with what your fans are doing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, there has been some other things like Colonial partnered with
Essendon,
and so
two birds with the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, with the Western Bulldogs women's team.
That was the women's team, And I think, you know, you know, you're seeing, you know, like when we go to the Swans game, how many activations they have outside. And they're trying to build this thing of you go out early and teach you things for the kids to do. The army band's always playing.
Exactly. Or even if it's like,
it's creating an atmosphere around the ground. You know, Stomping Ground have a deal they do with, Melbourne Victory?
No, City.
Melbourne City. And so they have a pop-up Stomping Ground bar outside the ground.
At all City games.
At all home games. And, like, I would go early to a game to
If there was a crafty pop-up, you know, outside the SCG, fuck yeah. Absolutely.
You know, because they're all about, you know, the Swans do heaps of deals where they go, if you come an hour early, like, all food and drinks are half price. So they're just trying to get people into the ground because, you know, I'm the worst. I have got the art of, like, sliding into the ground just before
there's a 60-second countdown set to Black Skinhead by Kanye, and it's like Liam always seems to come in at like 10 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And it's just perfectly
I've got
timed.
It down to a fine.
And the ladies who sit in front of us always just, it's like, they're like, how do you time that every single time?
I'm either here, I'm at the tap house, or I'm at the Royal Albert, and I get that each, like, oh, it's time. And then, like, I just, every single time,
you're
just
right
get it right.
Time.
Yeah. But I would come early. That's the thing is, it's not like I'm choosing not to, but I'm having a nice beer before I go to the game.
Well, that's it. That's what you're doing. You're at a pub having a nice beer because you know you can't get it at the ground. And that is, you know, at the end of the day, a sporting event, you know, goes for about 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours. Mm. And if you're an adult and you want to enjoy a beverage, like, the choice is very, very limited. And it's like, if I'm paying $12 for a half pint of beer, like a
mid-strength
mid-strength, it's like, can I get something good? Like, please?
I can deal with the mid-strengths. I get it. I know why they're doing
it,
right?
Like, you
know,
I had this, it's ridiculous.
At the Rugby Sevens,
sure.
I had the mid-strength single
fin. There's good mid-strengths.
And, you know, it wasn't like, I wouldn't go out and buy that beer outside of the ground, but, like, I'll take that over a mid-strength Carlton draft or whatever.
Or a great Northern.
So, it was actually an enjoyable beer, you know. But the other thing is, like, at a Swans game, how many beers do you reckon you could knock off? Like, like, max
quarter, right?
Yeah, one a quarter. Yeah. Three, four beers, probably.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave.
Yeah, exactly right. So, I don't know.
I remember going to the cricket the Ashes, the last day of the Ashes, because it was free entry or gold coin donation entry. And I was having beer there, and I just pointed like, oh, I'll have the 4X gold, please. And then the barman says, no, we only have Great Northern at this bar. It's the same shit anyway. And I'm like, you're not wrong, mate. You're not wrong.
Well, apparently in Members, where they can serve full-strength beer, they had 4 Pints Kölsch available at the test match.
Supposedly. I didn't go to the Members this year, but yeah.
Which, again, is like, you know, yeah, it's you can understand why, because it's owned by CEB, but like, God, if I could get... If 4 Pints did a mid-strength Kölsch or a mid-strength, you know, and that was on tap...
Dude.
If only,
it's better than nothing.
If only AB InBev had access to a really popular mid-strength beer.
Throwback?
Yeah exactly.
Yeah. What's the thing? And like,
can you imagine Throwback?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Throwback.
Like, now, like, and like, it's not like, yeah. I mean, we'd love for the stadiums to strike a deal with independent breweries, right? But if they're going to play with the big boys, like, at least have some good stuff from the big guys.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, like,
yeah.
CEB now, you can have 4 Pints, you know, Pirate Life, man. I'd even take like a Goose Island or something. Like, I love Goose Island, but like, you know, like there is stuff in their portfolio which would be interesting.
Exactly, and even if it's just like a tinny in the fridge, like it's not even on. I'd take that. That's maybe even better. I'll just grab a few tinnies and go.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, look, you know, there is inroads. You know, Sydney's a bit behind, but you know, it almost feels like every other state has some sort of beer option with their sport.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking about sporting experiences. Sydney's always going to lag behind a bit. That's just the way.
Mate,
we just
do what we do. That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, so you know, it's. I think any time we see anything like this, it's another chip off. Right?
Exactly. That's it. And it seems to be happening more and more often, which is great. So it's like the wheels just starting to spin a bit quicker, and eventually,
and two,
you know, maybe 20
two rugby
years down
union
the road,
announcements in the 1 week. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, good on them. It's great.
I just want to put together a coalition of like Sydney Brewers and just go to the Swans and be like, we want to do this. You know,
I would, like, if there was one bar on the other side of the ground,
I'd walk out. I'd walk over there. Yeah. All right. Should we move on to another topic?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the next thing that's sort of been talked about a lot in the last couple of weeks has been government grants for breweries, which we've seen out of nowhere, like a few things. So, I think the first one was announced was Big Shed.
Yeah. So the big ones were from the South Australian government. Two from South Australia.
Yeah. So Big Shed. And that was a bit of a different deal from what I remember reading, was they got a grant, but also a low interest loan for a decent amount of money as well. And, you know, they're going to create a lot more jobs and all that stuff, and it's great. And then,
that's for the expansion, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So I think they're moving in the same area, but moving to a new site.
To a bigger
and
shed?
A bigger shed. Yeah. Bigger shed, more toys. And I think a lot of that's, you know, tied into having a food and beverage component, which they already have as well, but I think it's just making it bigger.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, because their cellar door space is not big, but yeah. So I think that's great. That's really awesome. But then BrewDog, you know, they announced that they're moving to Brizzy.
They got a big kickback, didn't they? I think.
I think they pretty intuited that the big reason why they chose Brisbane in the end was because Brisbane government came up and forked up a fair bit of cash.
Yeah, okay.
And it sounded like they sort of shopped around, you know, because they did say at one stage it was between Newcastle and Brisbane.
Yeah.
And I'd heard, you know, on the grapevine that they'd sort of found sites in Newcastle, and they were like, but they've obviously, like, you know, in the US, like Sierra Nevada, and, you know, these when they actually go to tender, they make states tender. What are you going to give to us?
Yeah.
For us to move there. And so it looks like Brisbane's giving them the better offer, which is great for the people of Brisbane.
It's going to be good for their scene, for sure.
The question is, I've seen some discussion on it, how fair it is. A lot of local brewers have basically been complaining that they are stifled by regulations. They're not given anything, and they're the local...
An international brewery
comes in and they get the red carpet rolled out for them. So it's not necessarily growing the local scene in the same way as investment in local breweries like Big Shed in South Australia would be.
And I agree. Partly, but also I wonder as with that as well, like BrewDog are a big organization, they've got a lot of people. Do you reckon they just know how to talk the talk and they know how to put the right documents?
No, they definitely
the right proposals together. And I'm not undermining
A department to do that.
I'm not undermining the other breweries in Brisbane, but like maybe they just haven't spoken the right language or been able to, you know, it's all about how you put your document together and your pitch and all that stuff. And maybe they just haven't had the time or something to do that right. But in saying that, you know, like my understanding is, you know, I mentioned it when I was in Asheville and, you know, talked to other breweries around Asheville about how they felt about having these big guys come to town. And it's always been pretty positive. Like, it's going to give, you know, open up, I'm assuming that BrewDog will do the same thing where they open up lab space. So all the, they'll happily do lab work for other breweries and stuff like that. Yeah. And so, and BrewDog, I think, definitely are quite focused on building scenes. And so I'm hoping that will be the same thing. So there will be a lot of advantages coming to mm-hmm. the breweries and a bit of a flow-on effect.
Yeah.
You know what? And BrewDog will make shit hot beer. And so if it brings up the standard of beer in the state and across Australia, then that's great.
Yeah.
Some people, unfortunately, might fall by the wayside, but it's going to make the beers better. And it's going to, you know, if I was a decent, there's, you know, some decent-sized breweries in Brisbane who'll be like wanting to really ramp up their game a little bit now. But I do agree that out of all the breweries that probably needed money, BrewDog was the lowest on that list.
Yeah, true.
Yep.
I guess with Pyro Lab as well. South Australia gave money to...
And in the end, yeah, South Australian government gave more money to Pyro Lab than they did to Big Shed. And the argument, you know, is does AB InBev actually need government grants?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, with that one, there's a few. Like, I think that deal was apparently in the works before the buyout happened.
Yeah, okay.
No, I remember speaking to MC from Pirate Life during Sydney Beer Week last year in October, and he was telling me about the plans of the new brewery, and he was saying even then all the investment and a lot of stuff they've been working on is all dependent on government getting involved.
Yeah.
That's
fine. That's all well and good. But yeah, I do agree. It's like, so...
It's a valid question, right? People have the... Like, especially if you're not the brewery, you have the right to ask the question, why does AB InBev need a government grant?
No. But, I mean, the other side of that is, like, those bigger companies, BrewDog and AB InBev. BrewDog is a bigger company. That's a weird thought, isn't it? But it is. It's a multinational
compared
now,
to, like,
right?
Newstead and Black Hops and these other breweries around there, they are a bigger company.
And, I mean, at the end of the day as well, there's an argument to be made that they will be... They could provide a better return on investment. Right, the money that they provide, they can provide more jobs. They can provide more, you know. And again, I'm not taking sides. I'm just trying to show that there are two sides. It's a nuanced argument. There's balance. You know, there's good and bad to both.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, if you gave a grant to another brewery, would they build something on that scale?
Exactly.
Because obviously, the government wants a big ass brewery.
And the thing, I think the talk for all of it for BrewDog and for Pirate Life, the emphasis from the governments when talking about it was on job creation. So that they're providing lots of jobs.
Yeah, and I don't quite agree with that with BrewDog to some degree, because BrewDog's talked about 30 million as this figure that they're going to bring into the Australian economy. 10 million of that is for the brewery to set up. The other 20 is dependent on if they reach their goal, a certain goal at the current Equity for Punks round that's going on, which hasn't so far reached that goal. And the other part is that other money, a lot of that's going to be put towards setting up bars.
Yep.
And can guarantee the first bar is not going to be in Queensland. My assumption is, you know, either Newcastle, Sydney, Melbourne was, you know, if they had that much faith in the Newcastle scene, then they should put a bar there.
I reckon they will.
And you'd assume Sydney and Melbourne would also be on that list pretty soon as well. So, if that does happen, thank you for the Queensland government for subsidising my bar in Sydney.
Brewdog bar, yeah, exactly.
But, I don't know. There has been a bit of criticism that, you know, did the government really think this all the way through?
Yeah.
Look, I haven't seen BrewDog's proposal. We haven't seen it, so we don't know. But I think people have the right to ask a question.
Is this the first time we've talked about the BrewDog opening up? I mean, it would be, right? Because was it announced?
It was...
We've talked about them coming to Australia, but we haven't talked about them confirming Brisbane as their location.
There's not an episode that's living on an SD card in current state that has BrewDog with being in Brisbane.
Because I've got a question about it. It's a bit of a tangent. As the purchasing guy at a bar that only buys independent Australian beer, do I buy BrewDog?
No. Straight no for me.
Yeah.
We were having some off-air arguments about this regarding Yeasty Boys. Do you get Yeasty Boys?
I think if
you get Yeasty Boys, perhaps you should get BrewDog.
I agree. But you don't just... Are you talking about this venue here, or are you just talking about in the other venues?
It's a bit of a hypothetical. The focus of this venue here at the Tap House is local, independent stuff. We can... You know,
but you
out
have
bit.
Done, and you will continue to do. Yeah.
But not a lot.
International beers,
but it's just more of a hypothetical argument.
That is a good question for all bars that are doing similar things.
And you know what? My opinion is, and like, I'm lucky I don't work in a venue, so I don't have to make these choices.
Yeah.
But for me, is if I own a venue, I would just want good beer. Fresh beer. And you know the BrewDog beer is going to be fresh as fuck. And it's going to be tasting amazing. Yeah. As a punter, I'm going to drink BrewDog beers when they're brewed here.
Well, I know you will. Yeah.
I will as well.
Yeah. No, it's
people love to hate BrewDog as well.
Yeah. And when the BrewDog bar opens up in Sydney, which it inevitably will, right?
Like, you'd assume so.
Yeah.
My money's within 12 months of the brewery being up and running and brewing beer, that there'll be a BrewDog bar in Sydney.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me.
What do you reckon, Barangaroo?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a very good question. Barangaroo is a bit weird.
It is a bit weird.
In terms of getting to.
But they're doing a lot of stuff opening. Like, I can see it fitting in there.
Yeah.
Unless they find a good spot somewhere else.
Like, I don't know. I would never have picked Brisbane and Newcastle to be the two spots.
That's true. So who knows what they're
going to
do.
And look, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I reckon they could open up a BrewDog bar over a weekend if they really wanted to. Like, you know what? Glebe Point Road, I reckon.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot. You know?
Yeah.
Well, how about Ross Street on in Forest Lodge? I'm just throwing it out.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I feel the University of New South Wales might need a BrewDog bar.
It wouldn't be a bad spot, actually.
That'd be a sweet spot.
Rogue Brewery has a bar in one of the universities in Portland.
Oh, really? I mean, yeah, cool. The Wigan Pen in Canberra.
Yeah, that's right. It used to be in... they moved from one university to another.
Well, I think they moved from one building of university to another in the same, weren't they?
Is it the same uni?
Is it still... It was ANU before, right? It still is.
I didn't think...
It's still ANU.
I thought they moved
I've never actually been to any of the Wigan Pens, but my thought was the original one wasn't in a university, but it was near one. They currently
You're quite right. Yeah, it wasn't in the uni first.
Yeah.
It was very close to a uni first.
Talking about bars being in things.
Yes.
You've been through a few airports recently, Adrian.
I have.
Yeah.
Went to Japan recently.
How many airports had bars in them? Where you wanted to have a drink.
Not really many, but I was with my family, so I was kind of like not really drinking that much.
Really? I drink more when I'm with my family.
Did you notice the fancy new signs at Sydney Airport saying Beer Deluxe coming soon?
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting.
Whereabouts in the airport is it?
I'm not exactly sure.
I think it's actually in the domestic...
Yeah, I think it might be one of the domestic
main domestic
ones.
Terminal, I think.
It's not good for international travellers. You still have to deal with $12 Heinekens on the international airport in Sydney.
Well, I just go straight to duty free and just drink the free samples of the hard spirits.
I did that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
if I'm flying international, that's where you'll find me. I'll be in duty free. Trying gins and whiskeys.
But yeah, you know what? I think that's a good spot for Beer Deluxe to be. It kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting in Japan, though. If you want to buy beer at the airport, it's not really much more expensive than a regular bar. And even like in Tokyo, flying on the way back, you could go to one of the convenience stores at the
like a 7-Eleven equivalent in the airport.
And you can just buy beers for the same prices as a regular convenience store in the city.
Can you walk around the airport with it?
Yeah, and you can just drink it. And, I mean, they take it from you at security, but, you know, you can just drink it before security if you want. You can get really cheap food. It was crazy. I didn't really seek out any craft beer bars, so I'm not sure if there were any at the airport. Probably not.
But even at 7-Eleven, you probably could have got, like, a Hitachino or something like that, right?
No, not in the convenience stores. Some of the bigger supermarkets had craft beers, but... The convenience stores were like all the macros, pretty much.
Pretty mainstream, yeah.
But like, Asian lagers are nice and easy drinking, inoffensive. I didn't mind too much. Fly through Cairns and Gold Coast on the way back.
Oh, right.
And Cairns was a bit of a hole. Great Northern Bar, yeah.
Like a legit Great Northern Bar. Yeah.
What's funny, Cairns Airport used to have a brewery in it.
It did, the Blue Sky or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I wasn't a big fan of anyway.
No, it wasn't very good.
But
it was...
one of the bars in Gold Coast had Boulder, which is awesome.
Cool. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Awesome. It's awesome.
I was very happy with that. At reasonable prices as well.
Yeah.
I think it was like $9 for a schooner or something.
I'd do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was solid.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Beer Deluxe coming to Sydney, you know, Melbourne yet again with Stomping Ground have the... I think it's in between the two domestic terminals outside. There's a Stomping Ground bar.
Yeah. And it's the repurposed Gabs... containers.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, which is I mean, they're not doing anything for the rest of the year, so...
Pretty sure they sit out in the farm somewhere in between gabs, so yeah, that's cool.
And I think the pop-up... So it's a pop-up, the Stomping Ground thing, and it's for summer, so it's a good off-season use, you know?
I think they're trialing it to see how it worked. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure how they're doing, but you know, feedback I've seen from everyone who's, yeah. who's gone there has been great. So yeah, I would stop and have a beer before I got on the bus or something like that. If I
absolutely. Yeah. And what about when you get on a plane?
Hmm.
Oh, segue in the segue, mate.
Segue, man.
Good segue. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we've actually got in front of us a very special beer, don't we, Liam?
Yeah. I remember ages ago seeing... I think I got caught in one of those YouTube black holes where you just end up watching a video about, I don't know, something. And I ended up finding this video about Cathay Pacific had brewed a beer. Basically, the idea was like changing a beer to for your how your palate changes when you're in the when you're up in the sky. And so they actually brewed it with a Hong Kong brewery called Hong Kong Beer Co. And I'm pretty sure I had some of their beers when I was in Hong Kong a few years ago. And it's sort of a, like an Asian ingredient style beer. And I remember, my brother-in-law is a travel agent. And I remember asking him flippantly one time, like, oh, if you ever can get me that beer, I'm keen to try it. And I didn't realize, but he'd made it this really big deal. And so he'd been hassling his rep from Cathay Pacific for ages for this beer. And apparently it's just not done. Like, they don't give them out. Like, it only is in first and business class. And I didn't realize that my brother was just kept on hassling about it for so long that this guy actually just brought him one.
Yeah, sweet.
So the other week, I caught up with my brother, well, my brother-in-law and my sister, and he's just like, oh, I got that beer for you. I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't even remember asking for it. Like, yeah. He's like, no, I kind of made a really big deal out of it. So, yeah. So, yeah, that's what we got in front of us.
Nice.
What is it meant to be, apart from a beer?
So, from what I could read on the label...
The label's a little bit mangled.
Yeah, but from what I could read, it's a light wheat ale with dragon eye fruit.
Okay.
And Fuggles.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have picked the light wheat ale. To me, it kind of has a kind of... Has more interesting characters to it.
Look, almost like the one thing I will say is I don't know about the health of this beer. Because this is, you can imagine, this has been given to a flight attendant from a sales rep from an airline. So I don't know if they're, what their knowledge of beer storage and stuff like that is like. So I can't, I have no idea about that.
So
but
it's called Betsy Beer.
Betsy is apparently the name of the first ever Cathay Pacific plane or something like that.
There you go.
There is an awesome YouTube video. I will link it in the show notes because there is, I think it's actually on the Cathay Pacific website. But and it just goes through about the whole why they chose it. So apparently, due to your flavor profile up in the sky, that's why they chose a light wheat ale. And they wanted something with a Hong Kong flavor profile, so they've got the dragon eye fruit, which I don't know if I've ever had
fruit.
No, yeah. And of course, because it's a old English, I don't know, what do you call it? Not settlement. Hong Kong used to be under British rule.
It was an old English like colony, basically.
Colonies, yeah. So they got English Fuggles hops.
Yeah.
But cool. I just remember that we were talking about it on the podcast last time about craft beer and flavor profiles change up in the sky. So, you know, we are one level up, so we're not on ground level.
No, we're not. So, we're on the middle level at the tap house. So,
so we could go one higher see if it changes.
Yeah, maybe it'll taste better upstairs.
But yeah, I don't know. I was just really intrigued. So, yeah. I haven't actually tried the beer yet. I've been talking too much.
I like it.
Yeah, no, it's nice.
I think calling it a lightweight ale is selling it short.
It's definitely got some tartness to it.
Yeah, like, and that could be from the fruit as well. I don't know much about dragon eye fruit, so...
There is, it's definitely got, there's fruit character there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But I think the fact that it's like light and spritzy, like
yeah, it's good.
I think I could see how that would work, you know, in the plane. It's pretty drinkable. I'd smash it. Yeah, and I'm trying to work out how strong. Oh, it's 5.1%.
That's
so
decent as well.
Yeah, they're not fucking around.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Now for another segue. Speaking of fucking around,
mate, you're on fire today.
I am full of them.
Straight fire.
Segue master.
Yeah, let's say our recorder was fucking around a bit.
We've lost our first ever episodes of Sessionable.
Yeah. Well, I think these are the second and third lost episodes.
We've chosen not to release episodes, but we've never actually lost episodes.
Actually
before.
Lost.
We've actually lost.
Two, yeah.
So, as Adrian mentioned earlier, he went away to Japan for 2 weeks. And
we have a habit of when Adrian goes away just not doing anything. Yeah.
And we
This
time, not only did we record an episode, we recorded two episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Adrian gets back and gets the recorder and goes, guys, there's no episodes on here. Yeah. So do you even believe that we recorded them? Like,
I do.
We did, and they were very good episodes, and it's maybe our best ever, I think. Right?
Oh, mate, so? Yeah.
The two best ever episodes.
The two best ever,
two really good episodes.
Yeah.
And You know, we recorded one as a bit of a follow-up to the Hottest 100, and we had Tim from Sydney Beer and MC from New South Wales.
And Crafty Pine.
And we've been trying to get MC in an episode for a year, like... so we lost that one, and then we also lost an episode we did at Basement Brewhouse in Bankstown. This is really shit. So I had to email them today, just go, guys, guess what?
But we still do have some stuff to talk about from that episode.
Yeah,
and because they were kind enough to invite us out.
So I've actually been out there before, and I think I remember telling you guys like a year ago, man. Like,
yeah,
we've got to
I'm pretty sure
there.
That's one of your recommendations.
Yeah,
I've been
pushing for us to do an episode out there for ages. You know, being the inner city hipsters that we are, getting out to Bankstown is not the easiest thing. It's really not that hard to do, actually.
I'm just not sure I know how to. That's a lie. I have been out to Bankstown.
Yeah, you just jump on a train. It's like it's literally like 20 minutes on a train. But yeah, so Tara over at Bankstown Sports Club sent me an email last week, and he was like, "Hey man, we've got this really awesome like dinner we're doing in a couple of weeks. We'd love to get you and the Sessionable guys to come and join us for it." I was like, "That's great, but how about we record an episode with you?" And so Brad, Lee, and I went down on Saturday and hung out with Tara and Gareth, who's the beverage manager at the whole Bankstown Sports Club. And, yeah, that place is insane. It literally is like you're in Las Vegas to some degree. And, you know, I'm not a person that hangs around sports clubs and the RSLs and that type of thing, but the place is massive. But what they've done at the Basement Brewhouse is really cool. It's an awesome venue. Like, we actually hung around and for like another couple of hours and had lunch and had some beers and watching some football and stuff like that. It was good, really good fun. But, had an awesome chat with Gareth and Tero. Gareth came in on his day off and spent the day with us, you know, went through their beers, talked about the fact that they got one of those smart brew systems and tried some of their beers. It's a great episode, and yeah, we lost it all. But, you know, it was really cool. It was really exciting to take Lee and Brad around there just to show them the place, because the overall setup in that place is cool, but what they've done in that Basement brew house, like, I really want to go back there.
I'd like to check it out.
Yeah. You know, go on there. Like, they were talking about what they did for Super Bowl, which is sounded amazing.
Yeah.
They sold out the whole brew house for Super Bowl.
Yeah, wow.
I forget how many people we could fit there, but it's not a small venue. And they have one of the sexiest cool rooms I've ever seen in my life. Like,
ooh,
it is brewery.
Fun.
It is like,
I'll have to go.
It's beer porn. And the cool thing is, like, they have, like, glass windows looking. So, basically, from the brew house, you can just look straight into their cool room, and they had like blue mood loot lighting on it, and so it's like it's really sexy, and it's like it's pristine.
Oh mate,
like
you guys,
no, like seriously, it's bar porn. They actually can pallet walk whole pallets straight through the cool room, so you don't even have to hand unload kegs and stuff like that. It's like
that's pretty crazy,
but it's sexy. Such an amazing venue. So, yeah, I'm talking about the setup and, you know, just the scope overall of what they're doing in that place. I think you're saying they've got 120 taps across the venue.
Yeah, wow.
You know, we had a good chat about they use one of those smart brew systems, and they've got 10 of their own beers at the moment. So it was pretty interesting.
Cool.
You know, and their own beers, they're definitely aiming towards, we talked about the fact they're aiming towards more, you know, more of a, they're more conversionary beers, I guess you could say. But in saying that, out of the beers that we had a paddle and we had an IPA, which is pretty serious, and they had an amazing brown ale, which I really liked. I actually went back and had a pint of it afterwards.
Cool.
So, yeah. It was such a good chat, and it would be, it was so annoying that we lost that one, well, both of them. But we'll definitely be going back and having another chat with Tero and Gareth.
And the event they're doing is with
Stockade. So the whole thing that preempted all of this is that Tero has actually invited us to come down because they're doing a dinner on the 4th of March.
Correction, it's actually 4 p.m. on Sunday the 11th of March.
Which I think will be about a couple of weeks from when we're releasing this episode.
Yeah.
And they're doing a barrel-aged dinner with Stockade. And so the whole story started because they've got like some other bars in the venue, and they have a pretty serious spirits bar where they have like an awesome whiskey range. They've got, you know, like some pretty serious stuff. And they were stocking the Sullivan's Cove whiskeys before they won award. And then Gareth was telling us, you know, he went to all these issues afterwards that he was buying bottles online and trying to find them from bottle shops, and he was just sick of trying to stock it because so many people were buying it, he couldn't keep up. So people were buying nips of it, and he just was running out of stock. So he ended up going straight to Sullivan's Cove, and he bought two barrels
with
a French cask. And the whole idea is when you buy the barrels, like you bought two whole barrels,
that they then bottle it for you, but they give you the barrel back as well.
Yeah.
So one of the, he had one of the stock delivered and one of the barrels. So he's sitting there with a
an empty barrel, a 20 liter
barrel, yeah. wondering what he's going to do with it. Yeah. So basically it was around the same time that Stockade were transferring old money into barrels. So it's basically Sullivan's Cove French cask barrel, which they've put old, the base beer for old money into. So the old money is just that's released into market now. It's been barrel aged for the same amount of time. So that's just coming out, and they're going to be cracking that as part of this dinner.
Yeah, nice.
But not only that, you get a nip of the Sullivan's Cove that barrel was into.
What?
So not only do you get a nip of Sullivan's Cove, you're having a beer and the spirit out of that same exact barrel.
Awesome.
How much is this?
I think it's an $80. It's dinner as well, it's multiple courses.
Like half of that is that nip of Sullivan's
It's
Cove.
Actually really good value.
Not more than that.
But yeah, they've got some other stuff. So I've just got the list in front of me. So they're doing Old Smoky, which is a Roush beer that's been barrel-aged for 2.5 years in Lark Oak barrels.
Yeah, wow.
They've got the last...
Oh, you can stop there.
Like, the last ever keg of Mountie. They've got Old Money, which is in Woodford Reserve barrels. Then they've got this, their own beer, and a nip. And it's all matched with food. And
that's ridiculous.
The food there's pretty serious. I think it's $80. We'll have the link to tickets in the show notes.
Yeah, that's really good value.
So we're going to be going. I think we're fighting. I think.
Yeah, now we're going to have to fight for the.
Well, I think we'll just get more tickets. We're going.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was so funny because we're on the way up there. Brad and Lee were like, "Oh, look, you know, I don't know if I'll come to the dinner. We might see if the other guy's doing it." And after we did the podcast and we talked about it, they're like, "Oh, no, the other guys, they didn't come, so we're getting the tickets." So,
fair.
So I think we'll grab some more tickets and go. And so it sounds like it's going to be an awesome night. And, you know, the food there was pretty serious. We had some burgers and I had the food looks amazing. They got an awesome charcuterie section and stuff like that as well. So... we have to go back to record an episode to make up the fact that we lost one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think we're going to try and do it the same night as a dinner. So come join us. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
You know, if you live around the Bankstown area, you've probably been there before. This is the first proper like event that they've done.
Mm.
So you know they're going to go
all out.
It's
been open for a
year and a half,
over
I think.
A year, yeah.
So it's the first proper beer event they're doing. So it's going to be pretty awesome. And also if you don't live around the area, like, you know, it's like 20 minutes from Central and it's literally right across from the train station.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of events that are going to be at, should we talk about our sponsor, Dave's Travel and Events Group, holding another tour?
Yeah. So we're doing, lovely Dave's, who I work for and also sponsor the podcast. We've been developing what we're calling our short breaks, which are sort of multi-night, multi-day tours. You guys are actually both in the trial one, I guess, which we did last year, which is going to Bright for Darker Days.
And this is the sort of the second big one?
This is the next one we're doing. Yeah. And we're going to Bridge Road for the High Country Hops Festival.
Should be awesome. Should be good fun.
I've just booked you guys on the bus, so you're coming.
Yeah, we are coming.
So there's buses departing from Sydney and a bus from Canberra as well.
Just a quick update on that tour. The Sydney bus is sold out now. There are still seats available on the Canberra bus.
And, yeah, so leaving on Friday the 23rd, I believe it is, of March. Coming back on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. Staying overnight in Beechworth at the old Priory, which I've actually said it before, which is pretty cool. It's an old, what do you call a priory? A monastic building.
Nun's house.
Nun's house, yep. And it's like a 5-minute walk to the brewery. And we've got some really cool stuff planned up as well. Some nice field trips. A couple of breweries you'd imagine you want to stop at if you're around that area.
Mm, cool. Yeah. And we'll be there.
Have a break from Thirsty Crow on the way back.
I think that's become a standard thing now.
You can't go through there and not stop
that
at
area.
Thirsty
Crow. Yeah. It'd be rude.
Tom said he's going to do Dumpling Roulette again.
Oh yeah, I might do two of them.
I remember when we did the Bright Darker Days Festival, and on the way back, I think everyone was pretty.
We're pretty dusty.
Hungover. And then we stopped by Thirsty Crow and pretty much everyone had a road to ruin anyway.
Picked up after that.
I also think everyone was like, I'm going to steer away from the chili stuff for the sake of the bus.
I think I said I was going to just have a coffee and then you guys all had a road to ruin. I was like, oh, I'm sparking up. You know, we've got some stops on the way there. We're going to do some cool stuff. You know, you can imagine there's other cool places around the area you're going to check out as well.
Absolutely.
And the cool thing is all the breweries from the High Country
Brewers Trail, Country Brewery.
Yeah, all going to be pouring beers at
Harvest Festival.
At the Harvest Festival. So
it's exciting.
So come along, join us.
Yeah.
If you don't want to stay with us, we got you can just get we've the bus. Got other packages where you can just get transport, or if you want to make your own way there and just come stay with us. But yeah, jump on the daves.com.au site and you'll see the
High Country Hops. We'll have a link in the show notes.
And we've gone live for bookings are open for the Darker Days as well.
Oh, cool.
What?
We need to talk about that.
Yeah. Oh,
And last year we did Darker Days just in 2 days and it was a pretty brutal thing. So we're doing it over 3 days as well.
Yeah,
staying.
Cool. Sweet. Yeah,
accommodation as well. So I forgot to say as well, we're doing dinner with Ben Krause and all the guys on Friday night.
Yeah,
when we go to Bridgeworth. So we're going to have dinner with Ben in town and he's going to bring a couple of the High Country Brewers as well. And we're going to have dinner on Friday night.
Cool. It's going to be fun.
With Ben.
Yeah. Excellent.
Sweet. Sessionable. Ever been in the work function and it's just cheap drinks on a boat for like the fifth year in a row and you think to yourself, ugh, I wish I was doing something fun? Well, Dave's Travel and Events Group can help you out with that. With Dave's Events, they can hook you up with some great team-building activities like axe throwing. Or they can curate a nice degustation matched with some good beer. Or they can even help you brew your own beer for your staff and clients. Whatever your needs, Dave's Events can customise an awesome local beer experience for your workplace. So it doesn't have to be just drinks in a boat. Although it can totally be drinks in a boat. For more info, check out daves.com.au. Should we get into some recommendations?
I think we should. I think it's time.
Sweet.
Do you want to go non-beer or beer first?
Let's go non-beer.
Non-beer?
Yeah, cool. I got a non-beer.
I got a non-beer as well.
Yeah, the other day I just watched a movie called I, Tonya.
Oh, I wanted to say that.
The Tonya Harding scandal in the 90s, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I think it's very appropriate given it's Winter Olympic season and also Oscars awards season.
Yeah, it's nominated for Best Picture, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Oh, is it? Really?
And
who plays the
Tonya Harding?
So yeah. Tonya Harding's played by Margot Robbie.
So she was
Australia's own.
Well, she's Aussie.
Yeah, she was in
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
yeah. And what was I thinking? The action movie, the Marvel War comic book movie.
Oh, she was
Suicide
in
Suicide Squad.
She was in Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Not Marvel DC.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, mate. You
bring
know.
Out the
yeah.
I've never seen you look so offended.
Awesome movie. If you don't know the story,
it's crazy.
Just go in and watch it because
I've seen like a documentary, which is basically like covers through the whole thing, and it's just ridiculous.
It's so when Margot Robbie read the script, she was like, "Oh, this is a great work of fiction," and then she was told it was real, and then she was like, "What the fuck?
Is that husband a good character?"
Yeah, it's
and the mum as well is Susan Sarandon.
Alison Janney.
Oh, Alison Janney.
Yeah.
Sorry, I get them mixed up.
And she was incredible in that movie. So, yeah. Great characters, really crazy plot.
If you already know the stories, it's still really enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you don't know the story, you have to go because it's just that whole situation.
Yeah, I watched it with somebody who had no idea about it and she was like, "What the fuck? This actually happened?"
If you do like that movie, there's a really great ESPN 30 for 30 about that whole thing
great.
As well.
Yeah.
I think that's what I've seen.
Yeah. I think we might have watched that together actually.
Yeah, I think we might have.
When we lived together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I definitely
got interviews with a lot of them.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
Such a crazy story. All right. My non-beer is a TV show on Netflix. I've binged the whole thing in a couple of days.
Yeah.
I binged the whole thing in a couple of days. It was a lot of fun. It's not particularly good, but it's a lot of fun.
Right.
Altered Carbon.
Ah, yes. Yeah,
so it's like a sci-fi neo-noir detective story.
Yeah, I'm like halfway through it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like Blade Runner, the TV show, if it was a bit worse written, but just as
more
pretty.
Entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot faster and a lot. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy. I finished though. It's like 10 episodes each, an hour each. So it's like a decent whack.
Yeah.
And I finished all pretty quickly. So
yeah, I heard the books are pretty good. So
yeah, yeah I think I'm going to give the books a go now.
Yeah.
But the TV show is watch the first episode at least.
Yeah.
If you don't like that, you won't like the rest of the series. But if you do like that, then watch the whole thing. You know, it's
Yeah. There's some ups and downs. I've not finished it, but there are a couple episodes which like you kind of I just switched off. And I think there was an episode where I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to stop watching this. And then there was a really good episode that hooked me back in. Yeah. It's kind of like that.
There are some great action set pieces.
Every third episode really gets you back into it. You're like, oh, I've got to watch another one now. But yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Some, yeah, And some really good characters and character work. That was my biggest. The writing's not great, but I thought the performances and the character work were pretty great. And yeah, beautiful. Like, the budget on that's insane. It looks so good.
It is really well shot. Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
Liam?
I always struggle to think if I've recommended something before, and now it's an even more of a struggle because...
Don't worry, Adrian will...
There's two episodes where I don't know if this was on one of the episodes we recorded or not. I think I'm good.
Take a shot.
I got a late mid-season subscription to NHL TV to watch the hockey.
So good.
It just so timed it along the New Winter Jersey Olympics. Devils are... doing quite well, and they aren't they?
Yeah.
They've already beat their win total for what they got last season, and still like 25 rounds to go.
Yeah.
So they're doing a lot better. But I got it last year, and it's like $160 for the year.
For the whole year, for every game.
And it seems like a lot, but if you think about it, there's like 82 rounds.
And
there's how many different, like there's a game, there's like four games on a day.
Yeah.
So, but I just didn't have the $160 to spend when this season came around. I forgot about it. And then I saw the other day, it's $20 for the rest of the season.
What?
Yeah, I think at the end of the season, they
yeah.
Does that include playoffs?
It usually does. But no, it does in Australia because...
Oh, because we don't have the blackouts.
Yeah, we're not blacked out.
Yeah. So, do it.
It's the same as a normal season, but there is, as we speak right now, I think there's still 25 rounds to go.
Yeah.
So, like, it's more than a general AFL season. There is so much to watch. If you worked on a 9-to-5 job and tried to watch every single game outside of work, I don't think you could watch all the games. There's so much.
I even struggled just to watch Sharks games.
Yeah.
All of those, because it's,
yeah.
You know, it's a lot.
So you can watch them live on demand, all that stuff. But it's actually a really cool thing. So, it's 20, I think it's $25 Australian for the rest of the season.
Pretty good.
That's a bargain. So that's my recommendation.
Yeah.
One of the things that NHL really does well is their condensed games.
Yeah.
Where you can just like skip to the action, which a game's high paced anyway, but...
But I mean, a full game is like, if you're watching the whole thing, it's like 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah.
Right?
So, but if you want to just watch like all the big plays, you can do that. And you can still get an idea of how the game went.
But there's even a thing where, like, there's a timeline down the bottom of the whole game if you're watching it post.
Yeah.
And it's got markers for all, like, key things. So you can even just skip to key moments, stuff like that as well. But, it's cool. And then, there's, like, home and away feeds for each game. So you can, if you have a team, you can watch your home team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I really appreciate that.
So, I watch all the MSG, which is the Devils thing.
Yeah,
so
it's like I always
all
watch...
all Devils commentators and stuff like that as well.
NBC cool. California for me. Like, it's that shows all the Sharks. And it's got, like, they've got their own commentary team that only commentate Sharks games.
Yeah.
And they, like, know the team really well. And that's really fun. Like, it's,
It's cool. Yeah, and it's like some... Have you ever played with the multi-angle stuff?
Yeah, that can be fun as well. It's
it's really cool. And there's so much content. So for a mere investment of $20, the hours you can get...
It's also like... Cool. It's shaping up to be it's a really good season. Like, there's been some really cool stories.
I think 25 rounds to go, and it's like you're just starting to get an idea about who's going to be around playoffs.
Who's going
to make
what,
let's get to that. So it's a really exciting time to watch.
Yeah, well, because the trade deadline's...
Now.
Yeah.
So, pretty much,
Beer?
Yeah.
I have one.
Okay.
So it's one that I've been meaning to recommend for probably a couple of months now.
Mm-hmm.
So a while ago, Dylan from Bit of You, good friend of the show. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Dylan.
He shared with me a sample of a beer called the London Sour by a brewery called Anspach and Hopday.
Yeah, cool.
Correction, it's actually called the Sour Dry Hop. My bad.
And
what's the name of the brewery?
Anspach and Hopday.
Are they from London?
They're from London, yeah. And yeah, it's just a really solid, not super sour beer, like just a session kind of... I'm not sure if it was a Berliner Weiss or a Gosa or whatever, but yeah, it was solid. I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Awesome.
And seeing as it was a sample, I'm guessing it's coming into the country now, so keep an eye out for it. It's probably in your favourite craft beer bottle shop.
Yeah, cool.
I'm really keen to check that out.
Yeah, my recommendation is a bit of a classic. I'm sure people listening to this have probably tried it. In fact, I think we might have had it on the show at some point. But I was reminded, so, I don't know, Australia's recently been going through a bit of a BS craze, I think, with the CBS, KBS, all those.
Oh, okay.
I thought you meant like Barnaby Joyce and Malcolm Turnbull. And
well, I mean, there's a lot of BS around. But
I think you're just talking about bullshit in general. But, yeah.
But basically, like... Of all those, especially for the founders ones, but of all those, like, that type of stout, the one that I just come back to is just the regular founders breakfast stout.
I haven't had
not
one of those
Kentucky,
for a long
not
time.
Canadian, yeah. just breakfast.
Yeah, the
out
regular
with
ones.
The really kid good. With the yeah. The bowl of milk. And,
didn't they change that now?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. But you know, I to me, it's just a. I'd prefer to drink that over the other the K or the CBS.
I really like the CBS. Yeah.
CBS is very nice.
I've actually got a bowl of CBS. Yeah. I was saving to do on an episode.
Yeah, cool.
CBS is very nice. We're going to do a barrel aged stockade episode pretty soon. It's going to be a little while longer before we do that one. But yeah.
But yeah, so I found his breakfast stout. It's a classic and it's tasting really good. And
how much does a bowl
really
of breakfast stout go for these days?
They're pretty cheap, right?
Yes, yeah, it's like around 12 maybe. If
that.
I got a bowl of KBS or CBS, sorry, for $25.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty expensive, but I've been told by other people it's like more like 30, 30.
Yeah, like so, that's. Yeah. But it's like if you can pay half price for a beer that's in my mind pretty much just as good, I'd do that. To be honest, that's my
yeah. Kind of have two. This is a weird thing.
Do both.
I'm always struggling to make up recommendations, and now I've got two of them. I don't know which one to do. What I was going to say is, you know, I was waiting for someone else to do it, but you haven't, so I'm going to have to do it. Is the latest Corbin D?
Oh yeah,
mate. Love it.
Yeah. I think it's the best Corbin D.
It's probably the most balanced Corbin D, which is what I really like about it as well. I had it last Friday, and I caught up with my brother. We'd just both finished work. We're going out and seeing a show, which I'm not going to talk about because I'll probably do that as another recommendation later on. and we both hadn't eaten, and we were just like running straight from work. And he texted me. We went to the pump house, actually. It was pumping. It was massive. So he texted me. He was like, hey, what do you want? Took a photo of the tap list. So it's like, oh, can I get a Corbin D, but just make it a small one? Get there, and there's like 2 pints. I'm like, did you give me a pint of Corbin D? He's like, yeah. It was like, what are you drinking? He's like, oh, Corbin D. He's like, do you know how strong that beer is? He read it. He's like, oh, crap. Like,
that's why so you wanted a small one.
So that we both had pints of Corbin D, and it was tasting really good. But I keep on saying it. Every time I went back to the pump house, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. The two of us struggled to get a table, like get someone to sit.
Yeah,
it was that
good.
Busy.
I think now now that development's done, it's less of a ghost town, right?
It was cool. It was great. It was heaps of people there. They were pumping out really sick music, you know, playing Soundgarden and Faith No More and all this stuff. I was in my element.
Yeah,
I loved
cool.
it. But awesome. Yeah. But my other recommendation was, you know, we're releasing this on Friday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yep.
So by then, Bucket Boys / From Ben's Danish Silencer will be out in bottle shops.
Oh, yeah.
So the launch is tomorrow, or so Thursday, so real time tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I think by this weekend, it's going to be in all the bottle shops.
Yeah, cool.
And I've tried some other iterations of Ben's
go to the launch tomorrow.
New England IPAs. So if you're on the haze craze train, definitely want to try. Could be up there with some of the best New Englands in Australia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah cool. Wow.
Yeah. So awesome. Fresh, awesome.
Cool. Go.
Sweet. All right, I think we should probably wrap up.
Yep. If you enjoy the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. And you can find the podcast at Sessionable Pod on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, and our website is sessionable.net.
Yeah, and Instagram. We're on Instagram as well.
Oh, yeah, and we're a Sessionable Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah.
Either come and join us on the High Country Hops Tour or come and have dinner with us at the Bankstown Sports Club.
Yeah. And as always, a big thanks to our sponsor, Dave's Travel and Events Group.
Cool. Sick.
Cheers.
See ya.